everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As always, I have Rick and Tony. We've got some, this is a crazy week, but we're not even going to go down the financial market rabbit hole today. We've got some other interesting stuff to talk about. Starting, Tony, with one of your tweets. And this is near and dear to, I think, many of our listeners' hearts. So if you follow the Bitcoin way, if you've worked with us, which we'd encourage you to consider, this is important information. So, Tony, could you just talk a little bit about Dark Skippy, this threat, and talk a little bit about the implications? We don't obviously have to go real technical, but what is it, and what can people do to protect themselves?
Dark Skippy, it just highlights the dangers of not having full control over your electronics. I mean, this specific attack is, you know, something that affects hardware wallets that have had their firmware modified. And by firmware, think of it as like the operating system. Somebody took the original code, modified it to do something other than what was it was originally intended. You know, now you've got a completely different result, which in this case exposes the seed phrase of the wallet involved, which is, you know, a very big problem because it's tied to people's funds. So it's a big concern, but I don't think it's something you should panic over because it's easily avoidable with very basic, you know, security protocol and guidance. When someone has physical control over your device, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a Bitcoin wallet, a computer, whatever it is, all bets are off. Okay, so it can be extremely secure out of the box, but somebody else gets a hold of it and they have all the time in the world to modify, you know, things in it. Well, then, you know, you can no longer guarantee that it's as good as you thought it was. So proper hygiene is really all that's needed here. You only buy the Bitcoin hardware wallets from the manufacturer, the developer directly, and you only use the firmware, you know, the operating system, so to speak, provided by them. And when you download it, you must always verify the signature to ensure that the file itself that you've downloaded has not been tampered with before you apply it to your hardware device. And now some people might go as far as saying you don't even have to update firmware unless you really, really have to. That could be true. You know, if there's nothing in that firmware that you need, you don't have to run to apply it. But generally speaking, you want to stay, you know, current with the latest and greatest from whatever developers are putting out there. So I would tread cautiously with that recommendation. I always like to make sure that all my devices are up to date. And as long as you download, you verify, and everything checks out, and you make sure no one has access, physical access, to any of your devices, it's unlikely you'll run into this problem.
And I assume I'm going to sort of question and just add something here is that the quality of the hardware device matters too, because if you're using a closed source proprietary solution, you don't know what the firmware updates that you're installing are anyway. And that's the reason we only recommend three wallets. And
yeah,
it's worth considering. Start with something quality, Bitcoin only, air gapped, open source. And then you can be more confident that any updates that you are installing onto the device itself are valid. They've got eyes on them.
Well, in the case of this specific attack, it doesn't really matter whether you're air-gapped or not. The attack will still be successful if the firmware is modified. As best practices, yes. I mean, I prefer air-gapped just because it's got that extra layer of added security involved where the device never connects to a computer. So you eliminate the risks, you know, from that side of the equation. But the firmware itself, the operating system, you know, you must pay, you know, very strict attention to that, making sure that you are applying the right one and not something that's potentially modified.
Yep. Rick, do you have anything to add to this, or are we going to let Tony fly solo?
No, I think he's covered everything. Like, I'm a marketing guy, but, you know, it's just that simple advice. Like, maybe I could help people understand how I respond to this kind of news, being, you know, a non-technical person, which is, yeah, you know, only buy hardware wallets from a reputable source, because if you buy one on eBay, you don't know what anybody might have done to it, right? And like Tony says, if you're going to download firmware, there are methods to check that it's legitimate, you know, you're getting it from the right source. So don't skip those steps. And if you don't know how to do it, find someone that can help you do it. And yeah, you know, I as well, I think people shouldn't like really totally panic, right? Because someone either needs to get access to your device, or they need to trick you into downloading some firmware that isn't legitimate. So if you're moving slowly and no one's got access to your hardware device, it's not like you should wake up today and think, "Oh my God, you know, someone's going to hack me." That's not the situation. So yeah, just be careful. And if you're not too sure what you're doing, then that's exactly why you work with someone like Tony, right? Because he will take you through the steps, make sure you're buying your hardware from the right place, make sure you're verifying the firmware that you update your hardware wallet with, and you can't really go too wrong. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, the
Perfect.
probability of this
Okay.
becoming a widespread problem is close, is very close to zero, in my opinion, anyhow.
Okay. But something to be aware of. So be vigilant
Absolutely.
out
You
there,
have to be
everyone.
aware of all these things.
Okay. Just in, the Bitcoin Fear and Greed Index is now almost at extreme fear. And the recommendation still stands. Tony, I'm curious. Are you selling all your Bitcoin now? It says buy and HODL Bitcoin.
Of course, man, I don't hold Bitcoin. Who needs that rubbish? Since, you know, like,
Boating accident.
I lost everything a long time ago, man. I'm happy owning nothing. See, you know, I follow the rules. I own nothing and I'm very happy.
Good for
No,
you.
yeah, you've got
That's
a poster of Klaus Schwab on your wall, haven't you, Tony? Like, you're a
yeah,
big fan
man.
of his,
He's
right?
my hero.
sent from
The
heaven.
fear index. Well, there's a reason why it's all-time high, man. It's because you people lack the understanding of the very basic notions of money. You know, you always fear what you don't know, right? And so that's why, you know, the fear index is at an all-time high, because people see red all over the place and they think everything's connected, which is not.
Yeah. One thing to for people who aren't maybe following what's going on in the markets, because I'm piecing this all together. I'm not a finance guy and I always provide that disclaimer. But it seems like so there are a lot of people who were taking out loans in Japanese yen and buying other assets in converting to, you know, dollars or euros and buying assets with the stronger currency. And so they were benefiting from yield in a stronger currency as well as asset appreciation or whatever yield they were earning on those assets. And so there are probably a lot of people who got out over their skis buying Bitcoin too, who, you know, were taking out, you know, a loan from Japan, thinking that they were going to pay back in cheaper Japanese yen. And now with the yen strengthening, they're forced selling effectively to cover their debt. So I don't even I'm not really convinced that this is even a an indictment of Bitcoin's value prop to many people. Their thesis on Bitcoin has changed, but rather they've been forced into a situation that you know, they'd prefer not to find themselves in. And unfortunately, I think a lot of those people are selling Bitcoin, or I suspect a lot of those people are selling Bitcoin that they really wish they didn't have to. Because it seems like we've been the last couple of months, we've been consolidating already, right? And the fact that this dip has happened, I think most of the loose hands are, you know, the paper hands are out. And so it's just a matter of forced sellers that don't really have optionality there. Rick, any comment on this? And I apologize, I keep coughing. I'm still kind of getting over something.
No worries, man. Yeah, I have a few thoughts on this, just for you know, being a Bitcoiner for such a long time. Like, you know, you've seen it all, right? So you've got, first of all, the fear and greed index, right? That's quite an interesting thing. I'm not sure exactly how that metric is calculated, but I think some of it is based on like social media sentiment, right?
I'm
So
sure.
whether this measure is any more useful than the government's measure of CPI, I don't know, right? So first thing to say is, anyone who checks that for any sort of like indicator of what the market's going to do, yeah, maybe don't rely on that too heavily. But clearly, you know, the market is panicked. I think you summed up the trade, the yen carry trade pretty well. You know, you borrow in a currency with low rates, you put it into a currency with high rates, and you pocket the difference. But gamblers being gamblers, right? That's not enough. So they also take that money and they invest in the stock market and all this. And then, you know, if the cost to service that debt increases while the things you've invested in decrease, all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, you're offside. Yeah, you're bang out of luck. And what's funny about this is, we saw the Nikkei dump like, what, 12% on Monday. quite amusing. It pumped 10% today because I think probably maybe they've turned the money printers on. I don't know. But when you see the thing that I think is really important for people to understand is that, Bitcoin selling off at the same time, if you're totally new to Bitcoin, probably isn't the best advertisement to you, right? Because everyone in Bitcoin tells you, look, this is the escape from this broken financial system. So when you see the price of Bitcoin dumping the same time financial markets are in trouble, you might make the mistake of thinking, oh, look, it's all the same, you can't hide anywhere. But just as you described with this Japanese currency trade unwinding, the reality is that I can't put a number on it, but I would say probably 80% of even the Bitcoin market is just full of speculators at the moment, right? They're trying to make a quick buck. And like you say, they get over leveraged, out over their skis, and they were only ever here to try and make more dollars anyway, because they still haven't understood that dollars are just worthless paper and they just need to switch to Bitcoin and do nothing. It really is that simple, folks, right? And so, when those markets panic, because they're just speculators and they don't understand what they bought, they panic as well. If they're over leveraged, that just adds more fuel to the fire. And you see these sort of cascading falls in price as people get blown up. But I mean, this wasn't this 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 was this is a baby dip, right? I promise you, right? I've seen some savage days in Bitcoin, but look, it's still trading at over $50,000, right? Like it's not dying, it's not going anywhere. And I think we touched on this in a previous video. It's a volatile asset. It's disrupting money as we know it. It's not going to be a straight line. So do the homework. Understand that Bitcoin is not actually a speculative asset. It's just superior money and a better place to save money. It's a savings technology, not a gambling technology. And then you don't have to be one of these people in this fear and greed index swinging between pure ecstatic joy and then the next week total misery, like a bipolar sort of, losing your mind. Like life doesn't have to be that stressful. Have a 5-year time horizon. Put the work in to understand what it is you hold and enjoy your life.
Man, well said. Hey there, just a really quick break from Bitcoin Banter, and we'll be right back. Wanted to remind you that we, the Bitcoin Way, are the leaders in achieving self-sovereignty, whether it's self-custodying your Bitcoin properly and securely, protecting your online life and keeping it private, or even coming up with a plan B option in the event you would need to move yourself or your family elsewhere. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a few minutes to learn more from a member of our team. We hope to see you soon. Okay, we got the last one. All righty. So the guy in the UK, Rick, close to home. I don't know if you've seen more of this, but we could show the video. I think we'll pass on that. But effectively, the law enforcement shows up and tells him, "We're arresting you." They don't give really any I don't know how this plays out. Like if he is. Like what law he's broken or what have you, but that doesn't seem to bother the fascists anymore. And they tell him that he had some offensive, I can't remember what the word they used was, but effectively offensive Facebook posts. The guy was very calm. I would be just flipping out on these people. It's unbelievable, but it seems to be. I've seen a few of these videos. I think mostly from the UK, maybe Australia. I don't think I've seen this in the US yet, but coming to a jurisdiction near you. Is free speech just kind of out the window today?
Yeah, man.
Tony, any
Yeah, well, for
comments on
sure.
this?
Well, this touches upon something we discussed many times over. This is the bully effect, and I don't like. I mean, I blame the state and the police to a certain degree, but I blame the population, a lot more, because again, how long are you going to put up with the bullying? If someone like this walks into my house, this is not going to end in a calm conversation. Like this guy did. I mean, this, by the way, for the record, it was a senior citizen. I believe they were 70-year-old plus. They weren't given a specific reason as to what it is that they posted. She told them they would maybe discuss it after he was arrested and taken down to the station. Okay, so as long as the people put up with this and respect whatever bullshit version of law that still exists in the UK, this is only going to get worse. So, as infuriating as that may seem to you, blame the people. That's, and the way I see it, I blame the people. Because if the people react the way they're supposed to react, this would end. Like, why do you think the police doesn't touch any of, those immigrant assaults that have plagued the entire country? Why do you think they don't respond to those? Is because these guys don't care. They will destroy law enforcement. They will fight to the death. And, so these cowards, they run away. And so who do they focus on now? They bully the UK citizens, which, up to now have just been, okay. They don't like it. They mumble and complain, but ultimately they take it. So until the UK citizens rise up and push back, like real free individuals, well then have fun. Like it's sad to say, but you're inviting this, so enjoy it.
Yes, it's a tricky topic in the UK, and I want to be relatively careful about what I say because what I don't want to do is like feed into the culture war too much, right? Because I don't know, you might have heard this sort of analogy before. I don't know where I heard it, but I think it's really interesting and useful in times like this, which is, look, if you put a load of black ants and a load of red ants in a jar, and they'll just ignore each other and leave each other alone, right? But if you shake the jar, all of a sudden they'll start fighting each other and tearing each other to bits, right? But the question is, obviously they weren't enemies. So who shook the jar? Like who created an environment where people would, fight and fall out and have these riots and have this like civil unrest? Because who The point I'm trying to make is that neither side of this are going to win, right? Whether it's the mobs of immigrants running around with machetes and knives, or whether it's the guys running around and setting fires to mosques, both sides of that have misunderstood that this was the plan. It was always meant to end this way. You were always meant to fight each other. And it's a classic example of totalitarian strategy whereby you create a problem, then you see the reaction, which is everybody fighting in the streets, and then guess what? They come very quickly with the solution. And the solution that they're going to propose to everybody that lives in the UK is, Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister here, has already come out and said it. He said, we're expanding facial recognition technology all over the UK. And by the way, what might interest some of the listeners is the government tender for the contract to develop that actually came out like a week before any of the unrest started. So it was always part of the plan. And it's always, they don't care who they rule over. This is what we need to understand. They don't care what the color of your skin is. They just need slaves for their system, right? And they don't really care who the winner is. All they care is that you're fighting each other and not pointing your anger towards the real perpetrators of your slavery and your subjugation, which is always the government and powerful global interests, right? So for me, it's a divide and conquer. It's always the way, right? Whether they're making the vaccinated fight the unvaccinated, or the Muslim community fighting the English community, like this is always divide and conquer. It's straight out of Sun Tzu's Art of War, right? I don't have any confidence that the general public are going to wake up to this because personally, look, I thought once they'd locked us in our houses for 2 years and not let us out, that people would wake up and think we've had enough, we're going to stand up for our freedom. And they didn't. So I don't really have any faith that they're going to turn around. I agree with Tony. This only stops when we tell them it stops. And the reality is, we could do that tomorrow. Everybody could stand up, turn around, and say, "Do you know what? We've had enough of this." But the powers that be are very skilled at what they do, right? They have trapped people, in like almost a mental prison where they feel that they don't have any agency. And the reality is, it needs everyone to stand up at the same time, and coordinating that when everybody is so divided is almost impossible, which kind of explains why they wanted everyone to be so divided in the first place. I mean, look, we could get into the details of, do we think immigration is a great thing and are the numbers too high? Clearly, illegal immigration is a problem. But if we zoom out, we see that, look, this is just intentional chaos that they create to further subjugate you and create new laws to control you. So, yeah, I don't know. It's worrying, man. I mean, if you're getting arrested for posting on Facebook, we've reached really, really quite dark times. And in the UK, the prisons are overcrowded to the extent that they're actually releasing criminals now. So there was a guy last week who stabbed to death some young British guy, right? And now he's been released back out onto the streets after 6 months. And at the same time, they're arresting some guy in his 70s for, I don't know, posting a fruity comment on Facebook. It's beyond ludicrous. It's hard to understand. It's bonkers. But hey, look, no lies, right? I'm looking to leave the UK. This problem's not going to resolve itself quickly. I'm looking to secure second citizenships in different places. Second residencies, are easier to get quickly, and maybe look for citizenship later. But certainly exploring more options about where is it that my family can be safe, and where is it that I can just build a good life, just like everybody else wants to do. Unfortunately, when you see this going on, I think the UK is probably not the place to do that.
Yeah, two comments. So one is someone could debate all day about hate speech, incitement of violence, language, all that. So let's set that aside. I mean, I think most of these videos I've seen are people just saying unpopular things, right? It's like it's not just not the politically correct thing. So these are I don't know exactly what this guy said, but my guess is it was just something that the government doesn't want being said. And second, you hit on an important point. So Thomas Sowell is one of my favorite authors, and I can't remember what the book was, and I can't remember like five of the six examples he gave, but one of them was he talked about this, the manufactured problem followed by a solution, and things always get worse. And he talked about in the United States in the 1960s, there was really no teenage pregnancy like problem. It had been flat for a long, long time, but the government highlighted it and came out with the sex ed in schools solution. And over the course of like 10 or 20 years, I mean, teenage pregnancy rates just boomed. I remember seeing the chart and the numbers, and it's wild. It's like you look back historically and nothing had changed. I mean, maybe a little tiny uptick that you'd never notice on a chart over 50 years, and all of a sudden, government steps in to fix the problem that doesn't exist, and things get worse. And that's the playbook. They just do it over and over and over again. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And people again are focusing this refocuses people on manufactured social and cultural issues when the real problem that most people face is that they aren't going to be able to afford groceries much longer, and they're not going to be able to afford fuel for their car. And if we could recenter on, okay, why is my life impossible to lead in a productive way? It has nothing to do with, abortion or trans rights, or I mean, pick your whatever. It all comes back to the money. And I think if we fix that, we at least have a fighting chance at resolving so much of this. Any final comments before we sign off here?
All of these problems, man, we keep going in circles around them. They all fundamentally are because of the same thing, the inability to think and react. That's it. You've been so many people are brainwashed to comply. This is what's happening. They cannot think outside, a 1 by 1 square radius, and they certainly can't act, even though they don't like what's happening. And so when you're trying to fight against the tide of stupidity, you're going to lose. And so, being in the government's position, this must be Disneyland for them. Like, I mean, imagine how much fun it can be to do this to a mass of morons that just, comply with whatever it is that you throw at them, no matter how extreme you push. So you have to account for this. I mean, good, there's a good number of people that are, resisting, but the numbers still, you're at the losing end. versus the number of people that aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And so, you know, the smart decision is to really look out for yourself, because maybe in 100, 200 years, you know, the numbers will be on your side, but you're definitely not going to be around by then to see that happen. So yeah, pack up your stuff, leave if you have to, protect your money, because that's the only thing, you know, that they can paralyze you with. If that's safe, you're golden.
Yeah, as dystopian as this is for us normal level-headed folks, this is utopia for someone in power, right? I mean, this is, it's not, it's a playbook they intended, and it's working out swimmingly for them. So, all right, I think that's all we got. For all of our listeners, thanks for tuning in. If you are interested in help with Bitcoin self-custody, proper self-custody, if you some of what Tony talked about with Dark Skippy is on your radar, and you're thinking about how to protect yourself, check out the bitcoinway.com/podcast. We can walk you through a self-custody setup done right, no compromises. Plan B, passport options. We've got online security, protect your online life. That is becoming increasingly important in today's world. Everywhere you go, you're being watched or tracked. And hope we'll have the opportunity to chat with you. Until next time, gentlemen, thanks for joining, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
Cheers, everyone.